Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Jesus Among Us, this series we're talking about. I'll start with just a story. I had a family over. We had a family over to our house this week, and it was a blast. I love being vaccinated. It was just fun, you know, just hanging out, eating together. And what I think, I did like the parents a lot, but I really liked it because they brought their kids along. And the kids were at that kind of moment of others. There's different ages of kids, and I love all kids, right? I love them. I'm the best of it. I can change the diapers, rock the babies. I have two amazing middle schoolers who are my grandkids. I love middle schoolers. But they were the age of that younger children, right? And the age that they're their own person, but they still love their parents. You know what I mean? That they actually still interact with you, and they want to be around, and they're dependent upon their parents. And there's just something about that. I don't know. All my life, God has used my kids, especially at that age, to help me understand my relationship with Jesus. Anybody who has kids kind of knows what we're talking about here, right? And, you know, as a father and a grandfather, you know, like many of you, I have spent many hours on that bench by that playground or by where they're playing at, right? And you're just observing these kids, and it's really interesting. You'll see this, even if you're not a parent, if you've ever been in that situation at the playground, these kids are all trying to be themselves, having fun, but they're always making sure the parents are there, right? And then when they get hurt or they get bullied or they get afraid or they have a question or they need a little self-esteem or they need a little courage, they got to go out to that bench and connect, right? And then it's okay, and they go back, right? And I remember that. There's something about this place of needing the parent and loving the parent. And you know, I remember as a child, I don't have very many memories when I was a toddler. Probably most of you don't. But one of my memories, not positive memory, was I was a toddler and my mom decided to do, bowling, women's bowling during the daytime, which I can't even imagine right now. But anyway, but my mom decided to get out of the house. She was a home buddy. We didn't have any babysitters. And so I remember, this is my first babysitting experience that I can remember of, which is a bowling alley, right? Bowling alley daycare, it probably isn't the top notch, right? There's smoke and there's crashing of pins consistently and there's a teenager watching you, you know? And it's like, as a small toddler, I remember thinking, this is not good. This is not safe. And the whole time my mind, I can still remember this day, my mind was thinking, she's right out there. That was probably the crash of her pins. That was there. She's probably right out there. But I'm telling you, until my mom came and picked me up, I wasn't okay. And once she did, I was fine. You know, children have this place when they have a question or when they're in pain or when they're confused or when they're doubting something or don't know about something. What do they do? I need mom. I need dad. And, you know, the thing they've even understood is that this place of the presence of the parent is so huge. And in immigrant children, they've looked, and there's times in immigrant children that they have, the parent doesn't know English yet, but the child does, and then they can't help them with their homework. And these kids were really struggling, and they learned, parents, just sit by your kids and rub their back and just stay there. And the grades went right up without even any communication. You know, there's this place where a kid gets injured. It's interesting. And they can be bleeding, you know, bad. A stranger says, can I help you with that cut that you're bleeding out? I don't care about that. Where's my parents? Right? I got to find mom. I got to find dad. Because they know that everything else comes from that. And that's their first desire. Now, when we go into the story today, we're going to be talking about Jesus appearing to all the disciples at one time. And we just have to understand how they were doing. I mean, the disciples, you've got to understand how hard this was for them. They had, for 3 years, every day they trusted a little bit more and more into Jesus, putting their hope in Jesus more and more and more. And then all of a sudden, in a matter of days, switched around to Judas betrayed Jesus. The mob came after Jesus. They arrested Jesus. They falsely accused Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They beat Jesus, and they killed Jesus. Right? They're just like not knowing what to do. They're hurting. And so they're at this place. They've heard Mary Magdalene talked about these things going on and all these things that happened in the tomb, but now they're in Jerusalem. It's a Sunday night. It's still it's Easter evening, and it's been quite a day, right? And they're eating dinner, but they're super afraid. They lock the doors because they're afraid the Jewish leaders are going to come and take them and kill them as well. The doors are locked. Peter's encountered Jesus, and they're saying, Jesus, Peter encountered him. They start discussing this, but they're just not sure how to where to put this at. And then right about that time, there's a couple guys that we talked about last week. They were on the road that Jesus met with. And they said, we saw him too. And now they're like, oh my gosh. So this is where we pick up the story. So put yourself into the story as we go through it. Today I want to be talking about, the title I put on is, I am with you and you are my witnesses. And that pretty well summarizes the 13 verses we're going to cover. But we're going to mainly talk about the I am with you part because that's most of the verses. And there's two verses that talk about instruction, right? But the two, there's a reason there's so many verses about I am with you, because how important that is to know that Jesus is actually alive and that he's with us. So, let's go through the story. Here they are in Jerusalem, doors locked, trying to map, get their mind wrapped around something they can't, around something they just can't. It's while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your mind? So imagine this, the doors are locked. You're already worn out and edgy from a long day. You're afraid and you're talking, and all of a sudden you turn around and out of no warning, Jesus is just standing there. I always wonder if Jesus kind of thought, well, this is kind of fun. But I don't know if he did or not, but it's like, boom, you know, there's this guy standing there. And they think, oh, no, this is a spirit. This is something that is not tangible, physical. And then I love this part. Jesus speaks, and when he speaks, they recognize his voice. And when he speaks, he says, the first thing he says is, peace be with you. That word there in Greek, it's this place of wholeness. Scatteredness, bring it to wholeness. And so you have to understand, when he spoke, not only did they recognize this is Jesus, because they knew that voice, they knew who he was, they also felt his presence and they felt his peace as he spoke peace. And then he goes on, and there's the second thing that he does all the time, he did it all 3 years there with him, is he says, they're saying Jesus is alive, but he sees down below the surface that there are lots of doubt and they're troubled. And so he speaks directly to that, to their hearts. And so these people, you know, had heard over and over all that had happened, but there are still these doubts and these fears that are just kind of ruling them at this time. So Jesus goes on. He says, this is how he handles the doubts and fears. He says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. That is one of my favorite Bible verses. Because he's saying, this isn't any image of me or representation of me. This is me. And I'm here, tangibly. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Then he said this. He showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe, it was because of their joy and amazement. Now, let's just pause it for a second. I think the message actually translates this very well. And it says this. It says, they still couldn't believe what they were seeing. It was too much. It seemed to be too good to be true. Have you ever seen one of those things where something happens and it's filmed or something where this person appears and they didn't know it was possible, or this thing happens and they go, no, no, you're kidding me. No way. This can't be happening. This is crazy. That's the kind of thing they were feeling right there. They were experiencing, this is really Jesus. It says, and then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Kind of showing off here, okay? I am a physical body. I'm not a spirit. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it, probably with him watching very closely, like, where did that go to, right? In their presence. Okay? And he goes on, and he says, and then he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. Now, here's what's interesting. They already knew all these verses. Jesus talked about these verses. He referred to these verses over and over. And even in the first person, he said, this is what's going to happen. He testified of these exact things over and over again. But you have to understand that they couldn't see it. But then, when they understood that Jesus is there, their eyes were opened and they could understand, oh, this is true. And all this was, this place, you have to say, this whole place was to help them understand, it's me and I'm alive. And what they were grasping is, he is truly divine. He is truly the Son of God. If I've seen him, I've seen the Father. They are grasping on this. My relationship with Jesus actually is still going, and it will not stop. They're taking that in as they were doing that. And so at that point, now they were in a place where they weren't troubled. They were experiencing God's peace. God's presence is there with them. And then he has two verses where he gives them really important instructions. He says, you are my witness. You are the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He didn't just drop in the room and say, here's what you need to do. The whole time, what he's doing, he's helping them understand, I am alive, and I am with you. And they couldn't even understand things till they grasped that. The disciples started out in this passage. They're doubting, they're confused, they're scared. And then by the end, something's drastically changed. And the reason something drastically changed is this simple thing. Jesus was alive and Jesus was with them. That changed everything. Today, 2021, today, Jesus is alive. I know we say that all the time, but he is alive. You can have a personal interaction. He wants to be present with you. He wants to reveal who God is and who you are. He wants us to understand that we now have a relationship with Jesus, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to understand that we're children. It is a really good deal to be children. We're made to be children. You know, we're made to be sheep. We're made to be the branch, which is connected to the vine. We're made to be the body connected to the head. You know, we're designed, we flourish when we find our right space. We flourish when we understand these analogies that help us grasp our relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, is that we are children. And we grow in dependence upon. We yield more. We are not the head, we're the body. We're not the shepherd, we're the sheep. Now the thing about this is our flesh, our natural tendency, is the opposite of this. The enemy's lies to us is the opposite of this as well. From Adam and Eve to this day, we are, our flesh and the enemy is constantly convincing us that no. If you want to flourish, you don't become dependent, you become independent. And if you want to flourish, you lead yourself. And if you want to flourish, you are the source of your life and you are the head of your life. And God says, no, you're children. We are God's children, and we don't grow out of it, we grow into it. If I ever knew what Twitter was, or like, that would be a good one to tweet, right? So anybody who tweets, I've never had a tweet done in my life about anything I say. I'll say that again for those people who are listening, all right? It's very important here. We are children of God. We don't grow out of this, we grow into this. I like it better and better the more I say. All right, so, yeah, it's interesting, is that in the natural realm, it's a little different. You know, like my daughter Emily, which we used to call our lawyer child, a little less so now, but somewhat still true. But when she was a child, she was a lawyer child. And so one time, when I can't remember, Debbie, maybe 4 or 5 years old, kindergarten, right? Kindergarten, she came to me and she said, Dad, why do I need parents? So I said, oh, this is a 10-minute, 5-minute conversation. An hour later, I'm on the bed with her, talking to her, explaining, and here's how far I've had to go. She's on the street with her blanket, and it's raining, and there's no food, it's not warm, it's not safe. She has no way of supporting herself, and finally at that point, she looks at me and says, okay, I get it, I need parents, right? Now, the thing about it is, health in a natural setting is that you grow from a place of that point where you become not dependent on your parents, right? That's health. But that's not true with God. When we come to Jesus, it connects us to the Father, and we become increasingly dependent. We maturity is growing greater in that, to need Him more, to trust more of ourself to Him, to get to a spot that we yield all of our who we are to Him. That's maturity. And when we do that, we find life, because we find the right place. It releases us into things, and then He can speak to us in ways that we need to hear. Now the disciples, you know, that's where they're at. These 11 disciples, they're in this house, and doors are locked, and they're scared. They're troubled. They're doubting. You know what they need? Information. No, they don't need information. They need Jesus. That's what they need. When I was a new Christian, I used to be like, oh, don't say that to me. I just need Jesus. You know, that's how I used to think. Like, you know, it's not that simple. And Jesus is the answer. It's not that simple. In my old age, it's that simple. It is that simple. It's this place in which that, for normally, when our flesh, when we're not doing well, when we're troubled, when we're doubting, we think, I know what I need. I need to figure out what's going on. I need to know why God allowed this. I need to know what I should do about this. I need God to speak to me about this and this and this, right? All natural reactions, all really true needs. But the reality of it is, what you need in those times is you need just what these disciples did, just what this kid, those kids do on the playground when they're not doing good. They need Jesus. They need the person who loves them and is over them. You know, we see this all the way through Scripture. I mean, one of the stories I love is in Matthew, where, remember Jesus walking on the water? Most everybody, even if they don't know the Bible, I know about that. He walked on the water, right? But Jesus walked on water in a storm, okay? And when he was walking on water, the disciples were on this boat, and it's dark, and they're scared anyway. And all of a sudden, there's an image walking towards them on the boat, and it says they freaked out, and they said, "It's a ghost." Sounds familiar, like we just heard. And you know what Jesus did? After they cried out in fear, the first thing he did, and this is what you see in God, in representing who God is all the way through Scripture, he said, and Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And here's what's wild. Peter, who's freaking out, then says, "Lord, is it you? You call me, and I will come out to you." Like, how do you switch from terrified to, "Hey, it's you. The storm's still going. Everything's all right. If you call me," and then Jesus says, "Come." And when he says, "Come," to Peter, he says, "This." He knows he's okay. And as a child, he says, "I think I'll walk out in the water." Because Jesus is that way. You see him all the time. The first thing he does is make sure he knows, "I'm here. I'm with you, and I'm God, and I'm with you." And then all kinds of things happen after that. There's so many verses I just love that kind of talk about this. And so these verses like, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Paul says to Thessalonians, says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." These are not just nice sayings. It's saying Jesus actually lives and he can actually be with you. And he wants to be with you, not part of the time, but always. And he wants you to come to him so he can help you. So he can unburden you. So he can take that turmoil in you and bring it to peace. How? Through his presence. So I just want to spend the rest of the time just talking about this place of, we read these kind of things, right? "Lord, be with me," and "come to me," and "believe in me." "Believe in God, believe in me also." "Believe in me." That's what Jesus is asking. And I just would just tell you, that's what God's saying to us right now. Right? How do we do that? Because we play a part in this. This is a relationship happening in this room that we just talked about. This is a relationship that's happening with us. How do we do these things? How do we come to Jesus? How do we come to a right spot and experience him being in the right spot? Well, you're probably not be a surprise because I've been talking about it the whole time, but it's be a child who needs Jesus. Just be a child. This is one of the best news there is. You're a child. It just takes a lot of pressure off when you know you're a child. Because you know how crazy your kids are. You can be that crazy and it's fine, right? It gives you space to be who you are because God's going to take care of you. And so, as we think about this, is, you know, when the disciples were shooing all the kids away, they were trying to climb up, what? To come to Jesus. He says, no, 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 no. You know, Don't do that. He says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. This is a great life verse. The kingdom of God belongs to those who remain children and grow in dependency and long to be close to Jesus and to the Father. So, let's get practical. Like, how does that work? Well, I think some of it's just recognizing and being aware of that over and over again. I in the mornings, I have kind of a routine through my devotionals, and one thing I do is I slowly pray the Lord's Prayer, and I stop at Father, Heavenly Father. You know, I think of Father, and I just stop, and I think, I'm a kid. That's a great way to start. I'm not in charge. And I go through a kind of routine. I go, I'm the child, not the father. I'm the sheep, not the shepherd. I'm the branch, not the vine. I'm the body, not the head. I'm the servant, not the master. And that's puts me in that spot of saying, okay, now I can receive. There's things about kids that I think are characteristics that it's talking about here. I know some of you guys, well, my kid's not that way. In their best world of small children, okay? All right. Kids are honest. You know? Let's face it, that one stage. They don't know what they just tell you. One time, our daughter Emily came home with a cuss word, and she just kept saying the cuss word over and over because that's what she heard. And we were like, ah, you know, whatever's there, they just tell you what's going on. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm this and that. They just tell you everything, don't you? Don't they? That's they talk. They say, I need this and that. What about this? What about that? Why don't I do this? And they just let you in and just kind of tell you and honest of what's going on. They live in the light, you know. They don't hide as you know. They junior highs they do, but at that spot they don't. They're not hiding a bunch of stuff. It's all out there, so it's accessible. You know, that's what gets crazy in parenting when that starts getting hidden. Right, it gets complex. Right? But they're just out there. They tell you what's going on. They live in the light. For us as followers of Jesus, we have to understand that we're children, and we got to live in the light. In Psalms, it says, blessed are those who walk in the light of the presence of the Lord. Blessed if you walk in the light. In 1 John, it talks about God is light. And if you live in that light, you get to have connection to God and connection to other people. It just automatically happens. Because, as you know, as a parent, the children that live in the light, you can do a lot. The children that are hiding, it's a lot different. Children live in the light. I mean, if I think about the times that I am not doing good, so often it's because why? Because I have something hidden, something I'm going through, something I'm holding to myself, something I'm struggling with that I don't tell anybody about, and I don't know I should tell anybody, I just hold it in, and I carry this burden, or I have this sin that I haven't opened up and put in the light, because I don't know why, because I want to be in charge of my own life, and I didn't want to be a kid and say I'm troubled, I have a problem, right? And so I'm holding it in, and whenever I do that, right, I don't experience the Father. I don't experience Jesus coming near as much. It talks in Hebrews, but let us approach God's throne of grace. And it's powerful, and it's a throne of grace. We can just run in as a kid anytime we want when we need help, and we receive mercy and grace in our time of need. You know, the thing about kids, they let you into need. Holy child lets you into their need. They say, I need, I'm going through this, I talk about this, and they let you into what's going on inside of them. And I found the more raw I am about expressing my need, have you guys know this? the rawer you are of going to those places that you don't want to go, the better, the more connected you are to Jesus. It happens every time, and then we forget the next time. Right? One of my best moments was embarrassing when I was a young Christian in the middle of a Bible study. I've told the story before. I was so angry at things, I yelled out in the Bible study, which I was helping lead, "I hate the Bible!" And they all went, "Ooh, that's not, you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say that." That was the best thing I could ever say, because without me being the light about how the Bible was wearing me out, I couldn't figure out what God wanted, right? And this place that of humility, it's this, children understand that they don't know everything. I keep wanting to say until middle school, but you know what I mean. In that faith, they know they have lots to learn, and this humility takes you to Jesus. Pride takes you away. Pretty simple. It's this place that pride always convinces you of all the things that a child is not. And so it's this place in Peter that says, humble yourself, choose it. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But I think if you've been asleep all this time, this is the one to wake up for. Okay? A child wants the presence of Jesus more than what Jesus will do for him or her. A lot of my life, I have been relating to Jesus, and he's gracious to me, and he still gets in there. But the way I relate to Jesus is often, Jesus, you got to tell me what to do. Jesus, you need to help me with this situation. Jesus, I need to get this fear out of me. I need to get back to a better spot. I need to have a better perspective. All really good things to ask. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with asking that. But what I find is we seek Jesus' hands often before we seek his face. In Scripture, whenever you hear about the face, it's talking about the counts of who the person is. It's representing the whole of the person that you experience. If you've ever had a kid that loves you or hits you, and your kid, and you go and you're around them and you take a pill or something and you hide your face, that kid will do anything to get that pillow down to see your face. They'll fight you, they'll pull it back. They got to see your face. They got to see you. That's where it all starts. And what I've recognized is that many times we are seeking God's, Jesus' hands, and we're not seeking his face. In Psalms 27:8, it says, "My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." That's what we're going to do. Here's the thing. If you seek his face, just like the kid on the playground, just like the disciples who turned around and saw Jesus there, the presence of Jesus, and felt his peace. If you seek his face, his hands, his instructions, you understanding Scripture, all the things that he wants to do, he can do in a moment, because he's with you and he sees you and he knows what you need, because he is the perfect Father that we access through Jesus. So, Jesus is alive right now, and you can experience him right now. He wants to come into that stuff. You get to be a kid. And he wants to be among you. So the worship team can come up. I want to close with the invitation. Moving yourself towards Jesus, pretty straightforward, is be a child who needs Jesus and welcomes his presence and peace into your life. Spend more time waiting and not rushing to trying to get everything fixed. Find Jesus. Spend time welcoming his presence. And then moving others towards Jesus, be Jesus' witnesses. That's what it closes off with. All that's there to show them, by the way, now that you've got that settled, I have something for you to do. Now you know I'm alive. Go tell people I'm alive. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and let those who don't know him know that he's alive. All right? So why don't you stand? I want to just pray for us, and we'll move into worship now.